Welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brance. I'm joined by Matt Thompson. How are you doing, Matt?
Pretty good, man. Excited to get some of these, wrapping up these prospect previews here. Excited to knock some of these out.
Yeah, I'm excited. We get to talk to Nationals. There's a bunch of players on the team who fantasy owners can be interested in. But first, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter?
Sure, MDTopFWFB on Twitter.
And I can be reached at BBrandsFWFB. Matt, why don't we jump right in and start us off where you want to, where do you think Victor Robles may go earlier this year? Is he going to come up in the early part of 2018 or mid-18?
I like Robles a lot. I actually think, you know, in talking to a couple guys at our site and stuff like that, we were in discussion. I think Victor Robles is the prospect to buy in redraft, coming into, you know, for this season. He's going outside the top 300 right now, as ADP. So I think he's a guy right now. I mean, you're looking at Harper, obviously cemented in right field. They got left field right now is Howie Kendrick, if I believe that's correct. And then center field is, Michael Taylor. I mean, I think there's a, and Adam Eaton's in left field. I'm sorry. Adam Eaton's coming back from injuries in left field. But there's a good chance that, like, Michael Taylor just turns right back into the old Michael Taylor, right? And kind of the guy that goes up and down, and he's not a sure thing to play. But, I mean, you're looking at Robles. He's about as polished as it gets on offense. He still needs a little bit more time in the minors just because he's only 20 years old. He'll be 21 in the middle of May. But, I mean, you're looking at a guy, he walks at a 14% clip. Or excuse me, he only struck out 14% of the time in the Eastern League, in Double A. He came up from a brief call up with the major leagues last year. Didn't do anything meaningful. Didn't really get meaningful playing time. But the fact they went to him was encouraging. I wish they would have done a little bit earlier. But you're looking at a guy 300, 382, 493, 10 homers, and 27 stolen bases, in High A and Double A. He's an aggressive, high energy player, which sometimes puts him in, you know, makes him run into weird outs on the bases and stuff like that he probably shouldn't. But that'll improve with time. The hit tool is amongst the best in the minors. It's probably a pure 70 with a chance to be an 80. Speed is a 70, 80. Defense and arm are both 70 with a chance to all potential to be plus here. The one thing I question is I don't know if what the power output's going to be for Robles. He might not be much more than a, you know, 10-15 homer guy, because he is a small frame guy, 6'1", 185. But I mean, a lot of people, and you watch him swing, he puts his barrel on everything. He's a guy that's got projection out the rear end, as much projection as you can get while being high floor polished guy. He could potentially be a 20 home run, you know, 20-25 stolen base guy that can be a threat to hit 300 right out of the gate. That's the kind of guy you're looking at here for Robles. He's not only a chance to be a first-round pick, but he has his upside is number one overall pick upside. That's what we're kind of dealing with here. And I think the best comp I've seen is like Andrew McCutchen, and I think that still fits. Andrew McCutchen, if the power doesn't come along, then he could be something like a Starling Marte, and with a little bit better hit tool. And those are both exciting players.
Yeah, I mean, it's not often that those type of players come around. I mean, I'm not sure if you were one of the people who thought that Buxton could be something like that potentially years ago.
I like Buxton. Yeah, so. I like Buxton. You know, I still think he can reach that ceiling, but it, you know, development isn't linear, and as you see, there's a lot of ups and downs. But Robles' hit tool is miles better than Buxton. Buxton had strikeout issues even in the minor leagues, and you're talking about Robles right now. He doesn't have that. Doesn't have those issues. I'm trying to pull up the strikeout rate for him right now, but it's off the top of my head. Like I said, it was like 14% in the Eastern League, which is phenomenal for a guy. He's amongst the youngest players in the league also, which, you know, adds a little bit of a, he's going to grow obviously into this, but he's already so advanced for his age. Yeah. I pulled up the numbers here. We're looking at, we got a 18% strikeout rate in High A, which is fine. And a 13.9% strikeout rate in Double A in 37 games. Walk rate was at 7.5% between both leagues. Yeah, he struck out 22% of the time in the major leagues. Only had 13 games, 27 plate appearances. So you don't take anything out of that. But he puts the bat on the ball, and that's all you can ask for.
What about someone like Andrew Stevenson, who's also potentially who's also expected to be up this year, and he can play all three outfield positions? Do you anticipate him coming up and actually being a useful player? Is he a fourth outfielder on most teams?
He's a fourth outfielder for the Nationals, and with Adam Eaton, if Adam Eaton can stay healthy, and Robles and Taylor and Harper, and they're going to have guys like, you know, Rafael Bautista, and they're going to have guys like Brian Goodwin they're going to play. So Stevens is kind of buried, but he's a left-handed swinger, so that puts him in the strong end of the platoon there. He hits the ball on the ground a lot, which is good for a guy with his speed profile, because he's got potential to probably steal 10, 12, 15 bases if he gets the playing time, because he's that fast. I just think he's a fourth outfielder, and they already know that. I mean, he's a stud defender at LSU, and he's just transferred over. But I think, you know, he's probably a 15 steal guy that plays part time, and that's some value in that in NL only leagues. But I think it's minimal value unless injuries strike.
Fair enough. What about a player like Juan Soto, who's the number two prospect for most people? I'm not sure if you agree, but I would. Ventures.
Yeah,
you're still definitely. Pretty high on Juan Soto. So
definitely, he's in my top 40 as of right now, and it's kind of a lost year for Soto. He had an ankle injury that sidelined him until May, so he got started a little bit late, and then he fractured his hamate bone in his wrist, which ended his season early, and so that's an alarming injury for me. Because, you know, the hamate bone, there's no guarantee the power returns to what it should. But assuming it does, and we have no reason to assume it won't as of right now, you look at Soto, and he's a guy that I'm comfortable projecting as a 300 hitter with 30 home run potential. He's a four-category contributor. He's not going to steal a lot of bases, but he's a potential fantasy monster. He's just a little bit away because, you know, like I said, he's still in
High A,
but like I said, he's going to repeat that level next year because he only had 96 plate appearances at that level. So he'll be right back there this year. But I mean, he walked more than he struck out in his brief time when he was up. In 96 plate appearances in High A, he hit .360, .427, .523 as a 18-year-old at the time. So you can get on board with that profile. It's just it's going to be a while, but it might be worth the wait. He's got a potential to be a top, you know, 3-round fantasy player.
Who else are you interested in pitching or on the hitting side of things in terms of prospects?
Carter Kieboom is getting a lot of pubs. A lot of guys have him in their top 50 or 60. He's probably a little bit lower than that for me because he's not going to stick a shortstop. He's definitely a third baseman. But you know who he kind of reminds me of? He's kind of got the offensive chops of like a Corey Seager a little bit, as best case outcome. But I think that's a realistic one. I think you're looking at a guy but he's going to have to move off short, which. You know, Seager had that talk a long time, too, and he's still at shortstop now. But Kieboom is a guy he can hit 20 to 30 home runs easily, I believe. I think he's a, you know, 280-ish hitter, which kind of falls in line with what Seager pretty much does. He makes a lot of contact, which is a good thing. 78% in the Sally League and the New York Penn League. In a brief time, he had 93% contact rate this year. So that's fantastic. And, you know, I think... See, he's not going to be a stolen base guy. He's obviously got more value if he sticks it short, but I don't think he will. He should move fairly quick when they move him to third. He's just going to be kind of fine-tuning the defensive game. He's 20 years old, 6'2", 190, so he's got some room to add some weight. But I think he's potential middle-of-the-order run-producing bat at third base, and it's a very nice prospect. So I like Carter Kieboom a lot.
Is there anyone else that you're interested in?
We'll dig a little bit deeper. Luis Garcia is an offensive-minded second baseman and the left-handed swinger, 17 years old, out of Dominican, 302, 330, 387 in the GCL, 84% contact rate as a 17-year-old, stole 11 bases. One of the big signings of the 2016 international class. It's going to be a while, but the hit tool and the speed provide a nice base, and I think the power is going to come along for this kid too. So Luis Garcia could be a guy we're talking about toward the top, you know, 40 to 50 prospects about 2 or 3 years from now, or maybe if the growth continues. Probably a second baseman has played shortstop and third base a little bit, plus runner, like I touched on, good hit tool, so he's got to follow. And one of my favorite international signings from this past class, I like the shortstop, Yasiel Antuna, 6 foot, 170, switch hitter, 18 years old, 301, 382, 399 in the GCL. difference between him and Garcia, his contact rate was similar, 83%, but he walked 12% at the time. One home run, five stolen bases. I think he's got a considerable floor because he's going to – he should stick a shortstop. He's got some got some concerns with the arm right now. He might have to move to third base just because he might – he because of the defense on the arm. But I think he can stick it short. I watched him play a little bit. I like the actions. Obviously, he's a ultimate boomer bust guy just because how far he is away. But, I mean, he got $3.9 million assigned, so, you know, they love him a lot. But I think he can hit 270, 280, and I think he could be a 30-homer bat down the line. He's going to be a while, but he's got those type of skills. So, and then Daniel Johnson's another outfielder that I like a lot this year in this system. All he did this year was put up ridiculous slash line. Make sure I'm going to pull it up so I can get it right. He was 20-20, which is always nice. Left-handed hitter. He's in high A for them this year. He's a center fielder, but he can play anywhere in that outfield. 22 stolen bases and 22 home runs. 298, 356, 505. 29 doubles, 4 triples across 2 different levels of A-ball. I think when you look at Johnson, I think he's ultimately a bench bat, though. Just because I don't know if the hit tool is enough. He doesn't walk a lot either. He's more of a, you know, an aggressive free swinger type. Walk rates were 6% and 7%, so a little bit below league average in the leagues he was in. 79% and 82% contact rate. The defense is questionable, and I think the hit tool. I think he strikes out a lot, so he's got a little bit of work to do. But he's got a lot of upside. Obviously, 2020 season across 2 different levels of A-ball, like we said. Above average raw power and speed. It's just the hit tool is going to hold him back. He needs to fix that. But he could be a guy. He's definitely a dude to follow. So Daniel Johnson, he could probably be in Double A this year to start. So that'll be nice to follow. Switch gears a little bit. Go to the pitching side. Eric Fetty, still a prospect. Struggled mightily in Washington when he got called up in his 15 inning sample. Didn't really have a great year in the minors either. But I think he can be league average. In league average in fantasy, is probably a back end of your staff. You know, your fifth or sixth starter in a deep mixed league. But I think that's valuable with what Fetty can do. And another thing that's interesting is the Nationals hired the Cardinals' old pitching coach Derek Lillequist, and he kind of focuses on the ground balls and stuff. And maybe that's something with Fetty that can take off with him, just focusing on pounding the ball down and get more ground balls and strikeouts. But he can still be a useful player. Everything plays up because of the command. He didn't show it in his major league stint, but you know everything shows up. The command, the curveball is an average pitch. I think the curveball can be. The slider is his best secondary pitch. It's a little above average. He's an athlete. He has recovering from Tommy John that he had in 2014 when they drafted him out of UNLV. I think he's eventually going to be an innings eater back end guy, but that still carries value. Seth Romero is like. He's the high-end pitching talent in this system out of the University of Houston. Famously got kicked off the team because he had, you know, issues off the field. But when he's on the field, man, there's not a lot of guys better. The strikeout stuff is unbelievable. Fastball sits from the left side in the mid-90s. Really sharp slider that is a knockout pitch. And also has a changeup, which is a big thing for me when a guy this young can have this young, at 21 years old, who's a first-round pick despite all these problems off the field, can have 3-plus pitches and has a changeup already, because it's hard to teach someone a changeup. But when you have it already and it's already projects to be a plus pitch from the left side, Romero's going to be a stud. And I think his command is always going to lag behind the stuff. He's going to walk too many guys. That's always going to be a little bit uncomfortable. But the strikeout stuff is nasty. The stuff that he has in the bag is just nasty. And I think he can settle in as a fantasy mid-rotation guy. You're like a 3-4 starter. But I think the strikeout upside is huge. And I think if he can throw 200 innings, you're looking at a guy that can strike out 220, 230 hitters. And I think as in a rotation, that's extremely valuable now. He's got the frame, 6'1", 242, got the frame to put on the innings. He's going to walk a little bit between guys, like I said, so it's going to knock him down a peg. But I think in his best years, he can even be a fantasy ace for half a season with the way, if he gets locked in, he's that type of pitcher, that type of talent. So I like him a lot. Other than that, I mean, I like Will Crow, second-round pick this year. You know, he got out of South Carolina. He had Tommy John in 2015 and 16, which kind of in his college campaign. He came back in 2017, threw 92 innings in college. Nationals took it a little bit easy with him, only threw 24 innings whenever he got drafted. So he might move a little slower than a college arm, but he's 23 years old, 6'3", 230. Reminds me a lot of Lance Lynn. Fastball can touch 97. But he has a good breaking ball, which Lynn doesn't have, a potential plus curveball. He also has a slider and a changeup he messes with that could probably be average pitches. If he's not a starter long term, he's going to be a back end reliever because he's got the nasty bulldog stuff. But I think Will Crow with his four pitch mix could be a good mid rotation starter. They have a couple catchers, Rowdy Reed, going to be an empty batting average guy, kind of hit for some pop, probably a backup guy. Pedro Severino got an inside track and a good job this year. He's more of a defensive guy. What else they got here? Blake Perkins is an outfielder I kind of like. Left-handed swinger, can walk. Contact is a little bit of a problem. He's a switch hitter. He kind of newly developed the switch hitting and saw a little bit of a power spike this year. Probably a fourth outfielder based on his OBP and stolen bases, though. But this year he did put up a nice line, 255, 354, 378. 8 home runs, and he stole 31 bases. 13% walk rate in high A. Or low A, I'm sorry. He'll be going to high A this year. Needs to add more consistent home run power to his game. He's probably a potential leadoff hitter, but he's an outfielder, so in this organization that's hard to project out playing time, especially even long term, because that's their one spot they are deep in. Kelvin Gutierrez is probably a major league average third baseman as far as hit tool is concerned, but the power is going to lag. He's probably a 10, 12, 15 homer guy at max at third base, which is underwhelming. 6'3", 185, small guy, but could put on some muscle. Did very well in the Arizona Fall League this year. Needs to hit more balls in the air. It's too many balls on the ground. Good defender, so they raised the floor. Rhett Wiseman's a good fourth outfielder out of Vanderbilt. 250-ish hitter, I think, long-term. 10, 12, 15 home runs, kind of similar to a lot of other guys we've already mentioned here. Brigham Hill is a nice arm they have in the system that I like. More gets by more guts than guy, a low 90s guy. More guts than stuff, I should say. Low 90s with location, everything plays up a little bit. Rafael Bautista, who we touched on earlier, being the running for fourth, fifth outfielder. Jose Marmolejos is a first baseman outfielder with a nice hit tool. Power's coming. It's a lot of doubles power now. Should turn to homers. Jackson Tetriault is a kind of sleeper guy. Drafted in the seventh round in 2017. Kind of moved into the rotation late. Strikeout numbers look pretty nice after he got moved to the rotation, especially. Keeps the walks down as well. He's a nice dude to follow. Should move fairly quickly. Right-handed pitcher. 6'5", 170, so he's got plenty of projection there. Can hit 95 miles an hour with a nice curveball. So he's one of my favorites. Jackson Reed, who I didn't mention earlier, was with part of their catching situation. Probably backup catcher long term. He can hit a little bit, though. Taylor Gouchouet, I think that's how you pronounce it. Again, he showed a little bit of pop this year. Hit tool lags a little bit behind all these other guys, too. But he's also going to be in the mix. They don't have a long term catcher. Weeders was terrible last year. He's only got one more year left on that deal. So, unless they go out and sign someone like Lucroy, you could be looking at something like that. In a couple years from now, Austin Voth is a fifth starter. He had some prospect helium a couple years back. He's not really much of anything exciting. Kyle Johnson's a good fastball, cutter, slider, arm. And Oswaldo Abreu, Anderson Franco, Jose Sanchez, all young infielders. Franco's got some power projection, hasn't shown the hit tool yet. Abreu and Sanchez are a nice mix of speed and hit tool. Haven't shown either one yet in games, but they have them in the bag. Joan Baez is a nice arm, throws hard, a little bit, probably 7 strikeout per 9 guy when he settles in, so a little bit lacking on that. But it's a decent system. It's got some depth. It's really strong at the top, with Robles, Soto, Keboom. And then for me, it's Romero. I like those four guys a lot. Fetty's still a guy, like I said. Yes, Antuna is my favorite sleeper. He's going to be ranked pretty highly for me as Antuna because I really believe in the skills. If that's the guy you're going to grab, I like him a lot in the system, under the radar guy, but it's a nice system, got some depth, and it's got some talent.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's the thing. You want a system that has players that, can be up, can contribute, especially multi-category players such as players like this, and you'll get some pitchers like Romero and stuff who will who have the potential to come in and dominate when they're actually up. So
they're an organization that's in flux too. I mean, because Harper's no guarantee to come back. I don't think he does. Scherzer can opt out, so they're looking at a team 3 years from now that could be like losing 90 games a year. Which is weird to say, but that could be what you're looking at. So
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, you got the players that could theoretically come up and replace him, you know. You could have someone like Soto come up and replace Harper in 2 years, potentially, and then someone like a Romero could come up and take Scherzer's spot. And, you know, there's players that they could, you know, move, like Kibum and Garcia. So there's players that should be able to come up within the next few years and help contribute to his team when they lose players in free agency.
Yeah, yep. I mean, you got it. I mean, obviously those players aren't to that talent level yet of a Harper and Scherzer, but we've seen stranger things happen. They have the talent base with Soto and Robles, and I like a lot of those guys, but, you know, they're in flux, and it's hard to – I wouldn't want to beat the Nationals right now because you have a lot of unanswered questions, but this is their window to win now, and there's a good chance some of these guys get moved at the deadline because this is kind of the year to go for it.
Exactly. Is there anyone else that you want to talk about, Matt?
No, man, we got it.
All right, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what else you're working on?
MB Temp FWFB, look for my stuff in the draft guide here. I'll go in depth on a lot of these guys. Write-ups for everybody in every organization that's fantasy relevant, in my opinion. So, yeah, check out the draft guide and just listen to us on FWFB, filling up your ears every day.
And I can be reached at BBrandsFWFB. You'll be able to find me twice a week on the Fantasy Basketball Podcast with Eric Mackey, and once a week with the weekly show on the Keen and Friends Podcast with Ray Keen and Evan Peterson. From the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball season, everyone. Follow